flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast.
I have a six-pack. It's just under the dad bod.
From Fillmore's finest, Bronte here. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
Here's Barkley, a little shovel, looking for an edge. Gets it, Saquon Barkley. First down, Barkley.
Whole season for Buffalo on the line here. There they come. He just desperately throws it up in the air. Incomplete.
And there you have it. Super Bowl 59 set up. New Orleans, Louisiana. Kansas City Chiefs going for a three-peat for the first time in NFL history. Taking out the Philadelphia Eagles in a rematch of a previous Super Bowl a couple seasons ago. Mahomes and company outlast the Buffalo Bills 32-29. The Philadelphia Eagles run right through the Washington Commanders 55-23. Most points scored in the NFC Championship game in history. They ran for seven rushing touchdowns yesterday in Philadelphia as Jaden Daniels' company just didn't have enough to slow down Saquon Barkley, Will Shipley, Jalen Hurts. They played an excellent football game, and now we get an excellent matchup in the Super Bowl. We also got Warriors-Lakers recap. Warriors get rolled by Anthony Davis and LeBron James, but also Larry Bear, CEO of the San Francisco Giants, CEO and president of the Giants. He'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:04. So that a lot happening today on a Monday morning, on a morning roll, since we're saying good morning to everybody out there. What up, Shasky?
What's up, man? I love football. But God, as a Niner fan, this is like the worst possible matchup. And I hate to be Mr. Debbie Downer on a Monday morning, your favorite day of the week. It's just, I'm so frustrated. You know, I look at the Chiefs. They're awesome. They're great. I don't know where Mahomes is going to end up when his career is all said and done. I don't know. Some people want to say he's the greatest quarterback already. Whatever. Like, that's fine. He's awesome. I'm not going to dispute that. Andy Reid, amazing. What he's been doing, the longevity to win at the clip that they've won. It feels like their season starts every single year in the conference championship game. There's no doubt about it. But God, I keep coming back to, and you and I have talked about this. The Niners are going to be a highlight in their montage into the Hall of Fame. And similar to the Cincinnati Bengals of the 80s, we are their Bengals to their 49er dynasty. And It just doesn't sit well with me. I'll play here, I'll play there, I'll play here, I'll play there. Everything plays out different. There's an alternate multiverse where the Niners have multiple Super Bowls. It's not this one. It's not this universe. But there's a multiverse out there somewhere where the Niners win one, if not both, of those Super Bowls. And it's just so frustrating because they are that good and they are that inevitable. And then I look over at the Eagles on the other side and I'm frustrated because it did feel as great as Detroit was this year and as awesome as Philly was all year on both sides of the ball. NFC wasn't that great, and the Niners obviously did not deserve to make the playoffs, and it just sucks. It sucks. Can they get back to it? Obviously, and we could talk about all the things that they need to do, but it's like, I'm frustrated as a Niner fan because I'm seeing Saquon have the year that we saw CMC have last year. I'm seeing Jalen Hurts not put the ball in harm's way. I'm seeing all their young players that they acquired in recent drafts, whether it's Jalen Carter, whether it's the two guys in the secondary, just absolutely dominate. These are the two best teams in the league.
They are.
And this is the most deserving. And I one last thing as I'm ranting and raving. Look, as much as I can't stand Sirianni, freaking guy wins. I throw my hands up. Freaking guy wins. I thought Jalen Hurts would be the weak point on the team. Didn't put the ball in harm's way once yesterday. He was outstanding.
Jalen Hurts, we could start there with Jalen Hurts. The morning game, the afternoon game, high noon kickoff there. If you are a Niner fan, are you frustrated? What's your big takeaway from this postseason? 888-957-9570. Worst possible matchup. I can't get over my head. If the Raiders and Cowboys ever met in the Super Bowl, that would be disgusting. I could kind of live with Kansas City right now because I understand how good Mahomes and Andy Reid and Kelce is. I understand how good Chris Jones is. I'm actually rooting for them to have a three-peat. I'd rather them win it than the Eagles fans celebrating down Broad Street. I want them to be miserable. So this is a game from hell for 49er fans. There's no doubt. But you brought up Jalen Hurts. And for whatever reason, he gets critiqued a little different than the other quarterbacks. I get it. He's not the most accurate when it comes to the intermediate passing game. Their passing game concepts look a little simple, but they do what's tailor-made towards Jalen Hurts. And in his last three seasons, Jalen Hurts, by the way, when he took Carson Wentz's spot, he won over that locker room, and they made a wild card game. And they lost to Tampa Bay. They lost to Tom Brady down in Tampa. And what do? They go out and trade for A.J. Brown to add him with weapons. So now you got A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. You had Saquon Barkley this year. But the last 3 years for Jalen Hurts, two-time NFC champ, two-time Pro Bowler, one-time All-Pro. He has 121 total touchdowns. I know those 51 rushing touchdowns, a lot of them are into his push. But he does pass well, and he doesn't turn it over. He doesn't turn it over. First quarterback in 33 years to reach a Super Bowl after losing their first Super Bowl. So now he has a little revenge on his mind against Kansas City when he lost that Super Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. But all Jalen does, whether it's Alabama, whether it's Oklahoma, is he puts his team in a position to win high-level football games. So I don't think he's going to be overwhelmed in the Super Bowl in New Orleans. Will it come down to him? May not have to because they play such good complimentary football in Philadelphia. The running game is great with Saquon Barkley and their offensive line with just small dudes all night long. Their defense is number one in the league, led by Jalen Carter in the middle in the trenches, which opens up the rest of the defensive floodgates for his linebackers' defensive ends. You got Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell in the secondary with Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They're legit Philadelphia, so they match up very well with Kansas City. And you're right, Sirianni, Hurts, they find ways to win. And maybe there's a blueprint for the 49ers to bounce back the way Philadelphia did after last season. And once they started 10-1, it fell off the map. They readjusted, signed Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator, Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. They upgraded around the edges, and man, they're back in the Super Bowl. And they have a legit shot to basically halt the history of the Kansas City Chiefs and try to three-peat with Mahomes and company.
Bonte, he's 51-23 if you include the playoffs. That's Jalen Hurts. 51-23. You know, like, we could talk about all the things he isn't, and we could talk about all the things that Howie Roseman's put around him. The guy makes the most of it, and they win games, and he's a huge part of that. And so I look at Sirianni. He's 48-20 in the regular season. He has a 7-06 winning record. That's the best in the NFL for a guy who was hired in 2000, staying with one team.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that.
Yeah, I mean,
I can't believe
all
that.
All the talk about him being on a hot seat, but it's like, wait a minute, they're winning games. They're winning football games. And he's been able to keep that locker room in check despite some of the turbulence with Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. They bring it in Saquon Barkley. Just thinking about the New York Giants, we were texting about it yesterday. Joe Shane, the GM, it looks worse and worse and worse.
I mean, come on.
And I call Uncle on this one where I'm thinking, I'm like, wait a minute. They draft Malik Nabers. So they had a chance, the New York Giants. They could have took Michael Penix Jr. And he could have been their quarterback in the future, which would have looked a lot better than the situation they're in now.
Well, they had to have Daniel Jones.
I don't get it. But think about it. They could have had two different combinations, either Malik Nabers and Saquon Barkley, or Michael Penix Jr. and Saquon Barkley. But either way, they ended up with just one of the players, just Malik Nabers. So now you're starting, and he goes to Philadelphia, and he's having one of the greatest seasons a running back has ever had in NFL history.
Remember we were talking last week about owners meddling?
Yep.
There's a scene in the offseason Hard Knocks where Joe Shane's sitting there, and Mara comes in. I don't know which Mara it is. John, I believe.
John Mara.
Yeah, he's the head
honcho. Wellington is his dad.
He comes in, and I know that he's very... He's cognizant of not being seen as a meddler, and he comes into the room and he goes, "Are you sure about this with the Saquon Barkley thing?" He says it to the GM, and he goes, "Yes, we're sure." And he's like, "Boy, I'd hate to lose him. The fans love him.
Yep.
He's our number one selling jersey. He's a great player. I might not be able to sleep at night if he goes to the Philadelphia Eagles." Yep. That's what he says. So I ask people out there, like, and I'm not saying that the GM's not, you know, a good football man. I think Joe Shane should have been fired right then and there, the next day. I mean, you and I talk. He signed for $26 million guaranteed.
Yep.
$26 million. You had him. You could have franchised him. You didn't. You didn't keep him. You let him walk for nothing. You lost him for nothing. It's straight up asset allocation. And I go back to, boy, I think that the owner should have put his thumb on the scale.
He should have. Just thinking about it now when you got Malik Nabers, and he's a fine, fine young player.
He's a stud.
He's a stud. But the fact is, you could have had him and Saquon. Right? And I didn't even think about it until it just finally, like, I remember the Joe Shane scene. I'm like, boy, this is a bad look.
I went crazy the next day.
I mean, yeah, this is a bad look. And you got Daniel Jones. When you gave him the $40 million, which nobody thinks Daniel Jones is a good quarterback. I'm very interested to see what his quarterback market is, Daniel Jones, who signs him.
I think he's in Minnesota.
He's in Minnesota right now, but I don't think, I don't know what the hell he's going to do. But here's the back and forth between Saquon Barkley and Joe Shane on the Hard Knocks offseason.
This was horrible.
Back in the summer.
Hello?
Saquon.
Yeah, what's up?
You doing all right?
Yeah, I'm chilling. Just talking to the fan.
You in Jersey right now?
Yeah, I'm in Jersey right now.
Yeah. How's the off season been? You doing anything?
Yeah, I've been good. Travel a little bit, but just starting to get back into the chronic off season treatments.
Yeah. All right. So I just talked to Ed Barry, and I think just mulling over this, the right thing to do is let you test the market and see what your value is.
Oh no.
I don't want to do the franchise thing or all that stuff again. I don't want to go through that. We've both been through that. You know, if you really want to be a Giant for life and you're interested in staying here and coming back, just see what your market is and then have Ed come back to us and we'll see if we can come to an agreement.
All right, I appreciate that.
Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Can you give me your word on that, or you're not going to give us a chance?
I'm out.
What do you mean? I'm just talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, I already told you that where I want to be. So.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do that. We'll go out and see what the market says. I think it's the right thing to do. I love you, man. I appreciate everything you did for the organization. You know, the 2 years I was here, and I'm not saying we're not going to get something done, but I think it's right if for some reason it doesn't work out that you know that the organization thinks the world of you and everything you've done. But hopefully, you know, you go out there, you see the market, and you say, you know what, I want to be here, and you give us a shout back.
All right. I appreciate you.
All right, Saquon. I'll talk to you.
It
sounds worse.
It sounds worse when you hear it and you're getting ready for an NFL draft. And you just say to yourself, I have Saquon already. He's a special, special talent. Let me just keep him here and build around him. And maybe I draft Michael Penix Jr. when I need a quarterback. Move off of Daniel. And then maybe you're getting a wide receiver later in the draft. There were so many wide receivers that went in the second round. You could Lat McConkey sitting there. Maybe you trade up for him. I have no idea. Worthy, who we saw yesterday with the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, he looks like a stud. But the fact that you could have had a combination of either Saquon and Malik Nabers or Michael Penix Jr. and Saquon, and you end up with just Malik Nabers, and then Saquon moves to your division rival, your hated rival, the Philadelphia Eagles, and he's walking in his first season with the Eagles to the Super Bowl and making a huge difference. I mean, 60-yard runs, 50-yard runs. This is unreal. I think his season was better than CMC's last year. It feels like it was better to CMC's.
His playoffs were.
Definitely his playoffs were.
Yeah, you know, and I don't think that's a knock on CMC. I think it's more elevating how great Saquon's been. Pete, that one yesterday, Jaden Daniels, 17-play drive. They get all the way down. They get the field goal. One play, gone. What was it, 65 yards?
60 yards. 60 yards.
I mean, he's unreal. He is unreal. And you know what? Here's what I would say. As I zoom out, as frustrated as I am with the Giants and the fact that it's the Eagles that have him, as a fan of football, dude, I'm glad he's able to get to the
showcase his talent.
Like, this is the same thing I said about CMC. Great players need to be on great teams so that we could see them in big games.
Yep.
Period. You know? And one thing, as I'm listening to Joe Shane, I got frustrated. We all got frustrated. The Niners have had their own issues when it comes to negotiations and deals, and they've missed on picks. Mm-hmm. They've missed on signings. They've missed on a lot of things. I'll tell you this. I know John Lynch isn't that inept, because when I listen to that sound from Joe Shane, dog, if you didn't know the second you hung up that phone that guy was gone, then you're one of the dumbest people in the league.
Well, you heard the words, you know, we just appreciate everything you've done for this organization. And it's like, well, wait a minute. Why would you even say that? Why would you even say that? And then you're going to ask him, hey, do I have your word? Do I have your word? No, you don't have his word. He's going to go visit. He's going to get to that Eagle situation. Exactly. Howie Roseman's going to pick up the phone and say, dude, Saquon, look at our offensive line.
Oh, come on.
And look at your offensive line to New York Giants. You've been beat up and hit behind the line of scrimmage over and over and over again, getting beat 40-0 on opening night against the Dallas Cowboys. Come to Philadelphia. You got A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. You will see light boxes all season long. And if you do see an 8-man box, doesn't worry, because we could get you to the second and third level to go break a long touchdown.
When I think of greatest NFL free agent signings, I close my eyes. It's like Reggie White. It's Deion Sanders.
Tom Brady.
Peyton Manning. Tom Brady. Saquon's right there.
Oh, he's right
there. And if
they
win it all, it's right there. I mean, it is right there. It's one of the greatest seasons I've ever seen.
No, it is. It is. Let's go to Vince in Columbus. Vince, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Hey, guys. I called him a couple months ago, and I gave this analogy, and I feel like it's more of the same with the Chiefs, being the Bulls, being Jordan and all that. But now I feel like the Eagles are kind of in the victim of being kind of like the Utah Jazz again, like the 49ers are, unfortunately.
You just think they're in that Utah Jazz, New York Knicks. Like,
I mean,
not going to get over the top.
Yeah, it's
they're in that zone, Vince.
Yeah, it just feels like that. Yeah, it just feels like it with the Chiefs. They're just like, there's no one else I want the ball in the hands of than Mahomes, and it's just every time. And I think it's just going to be one of those things in the Super Bowl where it's the best roster in the Eagles versus the best player in Mahomes and coach in Reed. So that's how I think about it. So I think the Chiefs are going to three-peat.
Well, Vince, Mahomes' career, since he became the starter the second year of the league, all he's done is go to the AFC Championship game in year one, year two win the Super Bowl, year three lose the Super Bowl, year four losing the AFC Championship game, then bounce back and win two straight Super Bowls, and now he's headed to his third straight Super Bowl and his fifth overall. He has a chance to win his fourth ring in the last 5 years and his fourth ring in his first 7 years of his career. Now, everybody's going to talk about the fourth and one tush push. And I do want to get into that. I don't know, what time do we have to break? Got a couple minutes here? I'm going to get your thoughts as we shout out everybody on YouTube, brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. So ask you your thoughts on the fourth and one tush push, because everybody's making a big deal about it, saying the officials had their heads in the game once again. What was your overall thoughts on that play?
So many things. Number one, I'm so sick of the spotting of the ball by referees on the sidelines who are 70 years old. I'm tired of officials in general, and there's a play with Saquon going out of bounds that I thought was just absurd. I'm just so tired of older referees in lots of sports that never have played adjudicating the game that is so violent and so quick. It's absurd. We've gotten out of control with the flags. But on the spotting of the ball, clearly there's an issue. If tennis can figure this out in terms of digitally where a ball lands. We've got to do better. That being said, I hate the tush push. I hate it for a variety of reasons. And I don't know. I don't know if it was a first down or not. I legitimately don't know.
Well,
and so whatever they called on the field, I think you had to kind of roll with it.
Well, my issue with the Buffalo Bills, Shask, was 3rd and 3. Allen throws a quick screen to Dalton Kincaid. They don't throw it past the 6. They throw it behind the line of scrimmage. Dalton Kincaid gets 2 yards. So it's 4th and 1. I right there. The Dalton Kincaid, when he got tackled, that looked like a first down. If I'm Buffalo at that point, on the before the 4th and 1, before rushing to the line of scrimmage and running the tush push, I right there after Kincaid gets tackled, I challenge. I got to see the spot. I got to see if I got a first down right there. So if I don't get the first down and I lose the challenge, at least I have time to huddle up, group up, and say, all right, let's run this on 4th and 1 and let's set it up. Instead, Kansas City doesn't get the first down on the Dalton Kincaid catch. He gets called short. They line him up short. It's a 4th and 1. Buffalo rushes to the line of scrimmage, and they snap the ball with 26 seconds left on the play clock. That is the most important down of the game at that point when you're up 22-21 looking to extend your lead. You got to take your time there. Hey, 26 seconds left on the play clock. Maybe you're hut-hut. You run a dummy count to try to draw them off all sides. But they rush the tush push. You don't get your personnel right, and you get stuffed. And look, the spot, you may say Josh Allen crossed the line of scrimmage. I have no idea where the ball was, Shasky. Where's the ball?
I don't know.
I don't know where the ball was. So,
but this is why I think we need the chip. No. We don't see it with 50 different camera angles. How can the guy on the sideline through thousands of pounds of muscle see it when they're like, you know, barely 5'10"?
Yeah.
And this is coming from a guy who's 5'10". Yep. And you're on a field with a bunch of gladiators. I do want to get on the other side, Bonte. The Chiefs and what I call situations. I think they're the greatest situational team, obviously, since New England. But all the great teams in any sport, situational spots, how excellent they are. I want to get into that.
All right, let's do that. Here, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body.
What's going on, Roasters? It's Brian Baldinger with the NFL Network, and you're listening to The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Baldy will join us tomorrow at 7:30 to recap the NFC Championship and AFC Championship game, and plus preview the Super Bowl as well in New Orleans in a couple weeks. Eagles and Chiefs, a rematch of Super Bowl 57. They're back in the bet, but Philadelphia has a great shot to win. Obviously, Kansas City go to 3 straight Super Bowls there, going for the first ever three-peat in NFL history. Don't forget, though, the knockout tournament is back, and the contest starts today in the 8 o'clock hour to qualify for the second annual 95.7 The Game knockout tournament. Win a chance to shoot hoops on the floor at Chase Center. That's right. We'll give out a keyword sometime between 8 and 8:30 during the Larry Bear interview, which we'll talk to the CEO and, of course, president of the Giants in the 8 o'clock hour. We'll give out a keyword between that point, 8 and 8:30. And when you hear the sounder, be the first to call in and give us the keyword, and you will win a spot in the tournament and a chance to shoot hoops on the court at Chase Center. And the tournament, this is important, mark your calendars, March 3rd. March 3rd, which is a Monday, March 3rd, Monday, second annual 95.7 The Game knockout tournament. Again, listen in the 8 o'clock hour, 12 p.m. hour, and 4 p.m. hour. Each show will have a slot to give away for the next 3 weeks. So 3 chances per day for the next 3 weeks. That is 15 chances. Wow, 45 chances to participate in the second annual 95.7 The Game knockout tournament. By the way, have to be 18 to win and be a California resident. Now, you tease something about situational football with the Kansas City Chiefs, which they probably do better than anybody out there, whether it's red zone, third down, fourth down, right before halftime, right after halftime. They are one of the best situational football teams we've seen in the history of the game. And I thought we saw the best when it came to Bill Belichick and the Patriots. And Andy Reid and company are like, yo, wait a minute, hold my beer.
It's incredible. When I think of Bill Walsh, you know, the catch is the thing everyone brings up. But when you hear all the old interviews and you read all of the old, you know, articles written about it, books and things like that, they practiced that play to end practice for years before, the 2 years prior before running that play. Now, when they did it in practice, B, they would always hit Freddie Solomon on the quick little sprint right option, okay? They would never get to Dwight Clark as like the whatever, the third, fourth, fifth option, whatever it was on that play. I think about the Belichick, Malcolm Smith, no, not
Malcolm Butler.
Malcolm Butler play.
Seattle Super Bowl footage of
him knowing, hey, in this situation, they're going to throw right here. I'm watching the Chiefs, whether it's third and eight, whether it's fourth and three, fourth and five. They run plays over and over and over again that they all look like they know exactly what they're doing. They're so comfortable. They get Mahomes on the move, and he either can keep it and run for the first down. He could throw back to that tight end that sits down for a first down. He's got like a running back or a wide receiver who's in a one-on-one, and they're forcing a safety or a DB to make a decision, come up on Mahomes, stay with the guy I'm with. Time and time again, they're buttoned up for situational football. Now, this is the era in any sport of individual skill development. You have all these individual skill coaches, whether it's working on your overall speed. Think about basketball. How many people are working on handles and shots and things like that? Yet, a lot of young players in basketball don't know how to play within the fabric of five-man basketball. That's why it's so hard for people to play alongside Steph Curry. I think about baseball. So many people hit 100 miles per hour off of a baseball machine. Okay, what about hitting a slider away to the second baseman to drive someone home? In sports, I'm a big believer of, as you're teaching kids the game and whatever, high school, doesn't matter, college, situations. Situations. It's first and second. There's one out. Ball hit to third. Where am I going? When I watch the Kansas City Chiefs, they are the ultimate litmus test for, we don't just run plays. We know situationally exactly what we want to do, and we're going to exploit matchups, and we're going to exploit your weaknesses, and we're going to be calmer and more prepared for almost every situation. And it's just time and time again, I see other teams not as buttoned up, not as prepared, not ready for the moment. Last year in overtime, when all the audio came out afterwards, the Chiefs were prepared situationally for the game to go to overtime. And again, this is, we're talking next level, right? And you know, Bob Sargent and I have been working a lot with.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
These boys at Reardon in baseball, and we spend time, I'm not kidding, an hour on just runner at third, less than two outs.
Yep.
Where are you going to go? Ball hit here. Where are you going? This. When I watch the Chiefs, I go, how many times do you think they've worked on fourth and five?
Yep. Always.
And do they ever look like they're panicking?
No, they don't panic. But here's the crazy part is, on the flip side, Buffalo had been a team that was buttoned up in those situations.
Agreed.
Fourth and ones, fourth and twos, situational football. And yet, when they play the Kansas City Chiefs, it's almost as if they're pressing. They get the ball first yesterday in the NFC Championship game, and on the first drive, Allen almost throws two picks. And it's like, that's how you're setting the tone. Now, they end up bouncing back and taking the lead. But again, I go back to the third down on Dalton Kincaid. What would Andy Reid have done? What if Nick Sirianni had done? He would have told everybody to say, hey, chill out for a second. Dalton Kincaid gets tackled right at the first down marker on the third and three. Now it sets up a fourth and one. But instead of just chilling for a second and saying, hey, Booth, hey, somebody up there, Joe Brady, hey, let me know. Should we challenge this? I have a challenge in my pocket. We're up 22-21. Even if we don't get it, At least it's a timeout where we could set up our fourth down play. But instead, unlike Kansas City or even the Philadelphia Eagles, they rush to the line of scrimmage and they snap it with 26 seconds left on the play clock on the tush push where you're struggling to get it all game long. Philadelphia, they sit back and say, all right, let's hold on for a second. We could challenge or we could set it up, run a dummy count, hold on, try to draw somebody off sides. Mm-hmm. That's on Buffalo. That's on them in that situation. They panicked in a way to where you put it in the officials' hands.
Yep.
And I'll never forget a Jimmy Johnson quote when he's a head coach at the University of Miami at Notre Dame when they lost 31-30 and they called a fumble on Miami when the knee was down. I forget the running back's name. Was it Highsmith?
Cleveland Gary,
former Ram. And Jimmy Johnson told him in the locker room afterwards, we fumbled the ball, but we put it in positions of the officials, and I told you when we come to the stadium, you cannot do that. And it's the same thing with Arrowhead Stadium. You go into that stadium, and you put the game in the officials' hands, you're not going to get the benefit of the doubt. It's just the way it is. And it's unfair, but they rushed that situation, and they got to look back at that and think about it for the rest of the eternity if they don't win the Super Bowl, rushing on the 4th-and-1, which nobody is talking about.
No. I mean, look at the final play with Spagnuolo. You tell me, I actually thought Allen made a pretty freaking incredible play to get the ball anywhere near the tight end. We could argue about whether the tight end should catch that ball. It's a tough play, whatever. But like to me, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What did Spags throw at them on the biggest play of the game? Yep. And they looked, as a defense, they looked like not only did they have full buy-in, like they knew exactly what they wanted to do in that situation.
No doubt.
And I just keep coming back to your point about not letting it happen, letting the officials kind of dictate the game. The Chiefs have been in so many situations. They are prepared for everything. Similar to what the Patriots were, similar to what the Warriors were like for so many years when you had Clay and Steph and Dre. Like they had played so many big games. They knew what they were going to do in those moments. The Bulls, you know, before that, the Lakers, like pick whatever dynasty, the Yankees in the early 2000s. There's not a game that they could play where they hadn't been through something before.
Yep.
And I look at the Chiefs and all the big moments. Not only do they not like blink, they're the one throwing the haymaker, and the other team is the one backing up almost every single time. I didn't think I'd see a team more buttoned up than the New England Patriots, because to me, Belichick was always 3, 4, 5, you know, like steps ahead of you.
Well, Andy Reid's improved in that aspect because he wasn't buttoned up like this in Philadelphia. He had to learn, and hell, before he got Mahomes, I don't think he was as buttoned up as he is right now. So 888-957-9570. Let's take a call before the break. Oreo Cookie in Oakland. What's up, baby? What's going on?
Hey, what's up with it, man? Buffalo, more or anything, they lost the game. Go back to the very first drive.
Yep.
They went for it on like a 4th-and-5, which is cool. They got it. Then they got into the red zone, and then they don't go for it on a 4th-and-3. Like, what kind of message are you sending there, man? You got to stay aggressive. If you start out aggressive, you got to stay aggressive. That made them go for it towards the end of the games where they had to be aggressive. So I think he lost some points there at the very beginning. Now, James Cook was slashing them up.
Mm.
Running game was working. I didn't see him towards the end of the game. I don't know what happened there. But the Chiefs, they're already good. So with every 50-50 call going their way, it's kind of hard to beat the Kansas City referees.
Yeah, I hear, and we could get into that on the other side, Nick and Berkeley, RJ and Fairfield. Do you think the officials are aiding the Kansas City Chiefs? Do you think the officials had something to do with it? Because I'm sorry, I walk away from that 22-21. Buffalo, take the game out of the officials' hands. It's a 3rd-and-3. You're in plus territory. Kincaid gets tackled. Somebody got to say, hey, let's challenge the spot. And if we don't get it, it's okay. At least we get to group up and huddle. Instead, they fall short. They don't challenge. And they run 14 seconds into the play clock. It's a 40-second play clock. They snap the ball with 26 seconds left to get catching Kansas City off balance. They are aware of the situation. And everybody's kind of screwing around. They're not lined up correctly. You got one guy pushing Josh Allen on the tush push, where instead you can set up your play and have two people pushing him for a first down. That's unacceptable to me. Let's get into that on the other side, because a lot of people complained about the officials here on the morning roast. We'll get to that. 888-957-9570. That's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you and here for good.
repeat. We know that has been trademarked by Pat Riley. You can call it a whatever you want. Three Chief, a Chief Pete, whatever it is. They're about to head to New Orleans to explore the opportunity to reach a level that's never been seen before, Tony, in the history of the NFL. Chance at three consecutive Super Bowl titles.
Who could have thought?
What up? This is Turtle Pie Turtle from Frisco. If you're anything like me, you're getting hella roasted every day on the Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yee!
All right, Turtle Pie. Good morning to everybody out there. As this segment is brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area. For three generations, when you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Larry Bear, the CEO and president of the San Francisco Giants. He'll join us in the 8 o'clock hour. We also got the keyword for the knockout tournament coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, the second annual 95.7 The Game knockout tournament, which will take place Monday, March 3rd at Chase Center. So mark that on your calendars. 45 chances to win. 45 chances to win a spot in the knockout tournament. All right, Larry Bear, 15 minutes. I mean, excuse me, 8 o'clock hour for about 15, 20 minutes to talk some Giants baseball. We'll get back to the Lions in just a second as the Super Bowl set up in Kansas City. The first team, Shasky, we had three teams that had gone back-to-back with an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl for a chance at a three-peat. Steelers in the 70s, the Niners and Cowboys, or excuse me, the Niners in 89, of course, 89-90, and then the Dallas Cowboys. Each of those teams, those three teams, lost in the conference championship game. So Kansas City will actually play in the game to three-peat and try to make history. This is unreal. Unreal.
I mean, he's just... They're just unbelievable. There's no other way to describe them. I mean, look, we can talk about officials till we're blue in the face. The reality is you have to play a perfect game to beat them. Perfect.
Yep.
Not really good. You'd be perfect. That's how good they are. My bigger beef isn't necessarily with officials in a particular play. Like, great example. You and I were talking at the break. The throw that Xavier Worthy, I guess, apparently caught, that two guys looked like they were catching it simultaneously. I don't know. Did the Chiefs come down with it? He had one hand on it.
Yep.
The Bills looked like they had two hands on it, but it wasn't on his chest. There was going to be a hold on that play anyway. Mm-hmm. And McDermott throws a challenge flag. I watched it over and over and over. I don't know. I literally do not know. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand if I was a Bills fan, I'd probably be like, that's an interception.
Right.
If I was a Chiefs fan, I'd probably say that's a reception. I know that there's things like tie goes to the offense. I don't even know. Here's my bigger overarching thing when it comes to officiating. It's impossible to play defense. It's impossible to play defense. Here's where I'm going with this. The tush push, okay? If I'm a defender and I stick up a running back or a wide receiver and he's held up and then another guy comes crashing in, the official is almost immediate in terms of blowing the whistle so that you can't come in what I call the Deshaun Goldson.
Right.
Oh, you want to get held up and keep fighting for yards? Here comes Deshaun Goldson, you know, like a boomerang, a cannonball, bang, let me hit you. Who gets flagged? The defensive player.
Yep.
Why is it that the tush push will allow a head start run, whether it's a lineman, whether it's a tight end, a running back, a wide receiver, to come three, four, five steps in and come crashing in to a pile and allow the quarterback to get pushed forward? When if the defense did that, we would always throw the flag in the open field. It makes no sense to me. I want that adjudicated out of the game. The second one. The sidelines should not be a safe space. I'm sorry. If I'm a cornerback and I'm trying to tackle Mahomes, Josh Allen, Saquon Barkley, and these guys are coming at me and they are just muscle. Look at Jalen Hurts' legs. Look at Jalen Hurts' body. And I'm a 5'9 to 5'11, 195-pound DB. I'm going to try to keep my eyes on you, and I'm trying to hit you. Now I have to look down at to whether your foot or your toe was on the sidelines. I get trying to have player safety. But if that guy turns upfield, who's the first guy getting plowed? The DB! I just think this whole thing is out of control in terms of safety near the sideline. I understand. We don't want late hits. We don't want people to get hit. But you got to be kidding me.
Let's hear the sound.
Pressure again. Hurts floats away. Barkley, one-handed catch. Not going to be able to hold it down, but it hit out of bounds, and there's a penalty. Oh, my goodness. Mikey Samer still on the hit. A huge mistake.
Yeah, right on the sideline, Samer still saying he was in bounds. He's got his right foot. And just as the left foot hits, I think that's a good call.
Mike, you like that call there?
I do, because it's just a matter of the left foot being down. The left foot's down out of bounds just prior to the contact. You could actually pick that up in replay if it wasn't, but they looked at it and said that they could not pick that up since the foot was down.
We're watching in slow-mo as to whether the foot went down or not. Again, if Saquon, we're talking micro fractions of a second. If Saquon turns upfield and that DB, it kind of eases up, who's the first to get plowed?
See, I thought on that play, Saquon had given himself up and was clearly headed out of bounds. And I just think, as a defender in that situation, it's better to play safe on that particular play. Now, I get it with the Mahomes scrambles and the Allen scrambles. It's tough to hold up in
those
situations.
Those are more egregious.
But that one yesterday with Saquon Barkley, I thought he had clearly given himself up and was clearly headed out of bounds. And it's a bang-bang play by a young defender. I think maybe if you just thud him and you just push him, but the fact that the contact, it looked like it was a kill shot almost, right? Now, DB's small. He's 185 or whatnot. And he hit him, and there was no flopping there. I just thought it was a little too close for comfort there, and I thought it was the right call. I thought Washington was undisciplined at times yesterday. Hell, they turned it over four times, and Eagles scored touchdowns on all four of those turnovers. That player in particular, I thought Saquon had given himself up.
See, I view the whole defensive thing right now, all the rules are slanted toward the offense. And so to me, like, if there is a bang-bang play on the sidelines, can we have a little leeway? Just a little for the DBs. Just a little.
I agree.
Like, again, I hear you on maybe Saquon was giving himself up. But what if he does plant his foot in the ground a micro inch away from the sideline and then turns upfield and that guy eases up a little? He could get hurt.
He could get hurt, but it's a big, big play. It's a big, big play. Saquon, I thought, clearly gave himself up. With the quarterback, it's a little different. You're going to have to be cautious with the quarterbacks because we know the quarterbacks get the call. So, yeah, there's no doubt about that, that needs to be looked at a little bit. But Washington, man, just shooting themselves.
Oh, there's no doubt. That's not why they lost. I want to make it clear. That's not why they lost.
Yeah, no doubt.
I'm just saying my bigger beefs with the officials are not individual plays. It's more, my God, it's impossible to play defense.
But this has been the case for the last decade, and this was the warning that I thought, you know, the NFL giving away, and I thought, boy, this is an offensive league now.
100%.
Pass interference, defensive holding, legal's heads to the face. I mean, none of these calls. And this has to do with the fantasy football. It has to do with the casual fan wanting points, 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 points. They don't want defensive battles. They want points, points, so points, true. Points, 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 points. They want the light bulbs at the scoreboard blown out because the points are being scored left and right. And that's just the day and age we're in. It's hard to play defense, and we know that. But I think they will, and Adam Schefter mentioned it yesterday, that the league will look at the quarterback slides and some of these plays that are getting called for 15 yards. Let's go to...
Well, like, real quick on the tush-push before you go out to the lines. Like, I just don't see the tush-push as some... like, exciting play. I think it's garbage. And again, I say, how many times has a running, any runner, wide receiver, tight end, whatever, they get stuck up, and it's like one, two, all right, the whistle's blown. If a linebacker comes flying in and hits that guy, it's always a penalty.
It might be a flag. It might be a flag.
But yet we're allowing, and again, it's not just Jalen Hurts, but we're allowing anyone, like, oh, I'm A.J. Brown. Let me come flying in and hit someone from the back. I just think it should be looked at.
Yeah,
I think it's that exciting of a play.
I think they will. Now, they, you know, some team, Buffalo ran into his push and got stuffed.
It's true.
The Eagles did get stuffed yesterday. Well, Brady mentioned it, that they run into his push to the left side of the formation most of the time. So you're starting to see teams maybe have a little more success, but the tush push is going nowhere. Teams in college are running it. We saw the Baltimore Ravens running it with tight ends. There was a crazy play. Who ran it? Was it college? Or I don't know where I saw it, but they were lining up for the tush push, and a snap went to the running back.
Yes.
I don't know who. I forgot who ran that play. It's like, wow, here's the evolution of the tush push.
And then I think we all found out in real time, oh, wait a minute, if you just jump over the top two or three times in a row, the official's like, hey, we can award them a touchdown. What?
Yeah,
I never knew that was it.
Mike, how close can they put this ball to the goal line at this point?
Well, interestingly enough, you got a situation here. If these are deliberate, and you heard Sean Hockley say that it could lead to an unsportsmanlike conduct call, it could also lead to awarding a score if it happens multiple times like this. We'll hear what Sean has to say.
Encroachment, defense number 93. Washington has been advised.
realize that at some point the referee can award a score if this type of behavior happens again. For now, it's a replay of second down.
I
didn't know that.
I've been watching football my whole life, and I didn't know that was a rule. I mean, the NFL rule book is so damn complicated and complex. I mean, good luck to the casuals trying to follow along football.
Between that, Bonte and Shasky, and then the blended clock, I have never heard that before in my life. The blended clock, where there was a half-second difference between the play clock and the game clock. So Mahomes asked the ref, he's like, can I just bring this down to the two-minute warning? They're like, oh, yeah, that's good. I was like, wait, what? There's a difference. Buffalo, I'm pissed at that.
That's the one thing with the NBA. Zero means shot clock violation or game clock violation. The NFL, it could be zero on the play clock, and they're saying, well, you got a little buffer with the zero. It's like, wait a minute, zero is zero. Zero means zero.
But, like, again, I don't pretend like I had my hand in the dirt, and I know what it's like being a no.